Following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We hope your Friday morning is going well, and we hope to give you a bit more information about investing with your retirement funds, real estate, some tax news, etc., etc. And as we normally do, the top of the show, I want to remind you that just because you hear topics discussed on this show, please don't attempt to execute without speaking with your current advisors to make sure that they agree that what you thought you heard means what you thought it means, and it more importantly applies to your to your facts and circumstances. If you don't have advisors, then certainly you're welcome to go to our website at baplanner.com. That's baplanner.com. And top right on that homepage, you're going to see the forms link. And from that forms link, there's four forms, four steps to take. If you have time, if you don't, just do the first one so we can learn a little bit about you and give us enough information to have a phone call if you'd like to schedule a call. And especially as we get here towards year end, if you're even remotely thinking about investing with your retirement funds into real estate project, specifically syndicated multifamily, then now might be a good time to engage with us and get us on your Rolodex for consulting on specific transactions and understanding the math. In other words, what you're signing up for if you invest in private real estate partnerships. And in fact, that's going to be what we spend most of our time today on, is the concept of investing in real estate with your self-directed, either LLC, IRA, or just the standalone IRA, or a self-directed solo K, or what we refer to as a 401 trust, self-directed 401 trust. And the key behind whether it's an IRA or whether it's a solo K, and there are significant differences, by the way, and I'll just tell you, if you qualify, you should definitely use the self-directed 401 trust option, or solo K is the marketing term, because it's got more latitude, flexibility on the rules that apply, and you've got significantly higher limits on what you can contribute in a given year. And you also have the ability to borrow money from your self-directed 401 that can be used for any purpose. So in any event, and then I've also got, in fact, maybe we should start with just a couple of news articles. Let's see here. The concept, we've talked about this, it seems like every show for the past 6 months now about the distress that's in the multifamily market. And, you know, the debt structures that we started seeing, I guess it's been a couple years ago now, back in 2022, the three-year bridge loan option that most, seems like most transactions were undertaken with, has been the cause of most of the distress. And, you know, the Fed hasn't helped much, having raised the interest rates 11 times, I believe, if I counted correctly. And a quarter click here or half click there, and before you know it, your interest rate, if you're on a variable loan, has gone from in the 3.x range up to 6.x, maybe 7 in some cases, over 7. And that's a big difference on cash flow. And if that were the only thing, and then you look at the insurance cost, which have gone up in some cases as much as 4 times what they were if you back up 3 years or so, and then you layer on property taxes, another huge increase. And then if that's not enough, you've got significant numbers of new units that have been constructed in most of the major markets. And so now you've got an absorption problem, which leads to a concession problem. And I noticed, let's see, there was a property, I believe in the Austin area somewhere. I was reading an article yesterday. It was in an area that was previously incredibly attractive for developers to build. And there was a brand new project that was offering 8 weeks free on a 15-month lease. So what's that? Two months, basically. Out of 15, and you don't have to be a magician to figure out that's at least, what, a 10 or 11%, maybe 12% concession? That's a lot, because the average concession, I believe, that our sources track is, and again, average is a bad word. None of us are average. We're all normal or standard, and you're going to experience things in, say, the Dallas market that you won't experience in San Antonio or Austin, and then, you know, Phoenix and Nashville. I mean, you know, nothing is, I mean, it's all average, but none of it's average, I guess, is the way I tend to think of it. And and that's what creates the opportunities as you look at projects. But again, there's still uncertainty about the economy, and I am going to talk about development, new construction issues, given the election results, good and bad, I believe, if I recall the article indicating. But the direction of the spread between the bid and the ask, if you look at auction platforms for properties, it's definitely narrowed from the second quarter. I believe we talked about this a month or so ago. And the average marketing periods of trying to sell a property are decreasing. And opportunistic capital raising, in other words, people that are saying, hey, I want to get positioned, I'm going to go ahead and join a syndicator that's looking for distressed opportunities, those are definitely starting to increase. I've noticed both, well, any of the big platforms like Realty Mogul or CrowdStreet, even Fundrise has gotten in on the fund concept. And the fund concept, while it's a valid option overall, there's issues if you're trying to invest your solo K and or IRA in a fund versus in a specific property. And it's a technical issue that I don't necessarily intend to get into with respect to any detail, but let me just say that you really want to know the property you're investing your money in. And if you invest in a fund, that might go by a self-storage unit, or it might go by an RV park, or it might go by an apartment building. Well, potentially that gets you crossways with the regs for the 401k area and even the IRA when it comes to some of the issues involved, like the UBIT, UDFI, things of that nature. And I know those are acronyms that may not mean anything to the casual listener, but it just means you might incur some tax. Well, you will incur some tax if you're in a business holding versus a passive rental like a multifamily project. And those are things we can address maybe on another show. But suffice it to say, if you're investing in a self-storage project with your retirement money, and it's the type of self-storage that rents U-Hauls out front, sells packaging materials inside, and maybe offers logistics services or moving services, etc., that is a trade or business. And so you've got to be careful if it matters to you. And it may not matter, because you may have the ability to, as I call it, serpentine with your entrances and exits, to where you time it in a fashion where you are able to offset incoming taxable income with your outgoing investments that are giving you more write-offs to deploy against that income. So it's not impossible, it just makes it harder. And I would suggest to you again, one of the advantages to the self-directed 401 involves the situations where the tax systems, UDFI and UBIT, apply. The 401 is exempt in some cases from that type of tax. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take our first break. And when we circle back, I want to talk just briefly about the Trump effect, or the anticipated Trump effect on commercial real estate development. We'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at nprawls.com, Nathan at nprawls.com.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man. Be as good as or better than. Woman up and take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back to the second segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I was mentioning the fact that the multifamily trading market, sales market, seems to be moving in a positive direction. Still a lot of distress that'll happen in, you know, through the end of this year and certainly into next, but the amount, the volume of troubled debt has certainly decreased. Another issue that has had some discussion lately, let's see, this article was earlier today on GlobeStreet.com, one of the data sources we use to keep up with the commercial real estate industry. Gauging potential effects of Trump policies on commercial real estate, or CRE, construction. And, you know, there's a lot of people on the news and in the business world that are predicting utter disaster is probably overdone with an unlikely result of those tariffs. And, you know, there's been multiple analysis provided of how Trump's proposed tax and trade policies might affect the economy, but more directly, how might they change what is done with respect to commercial real estate construction or development? And, you know, just on the surface, it seems like the potential changes would cause some disruption in the construction practices of development, tariffs on materials prices causing pressure, immigration policy changing a source of labor, probably less expensive labor, I'm presuming, and the combination of lower taxes on higher income individuals and corporations might spark new rounds of inflation. All plausible, but it's certainly far from certain. And you may look back in time to figure out, well, how did we handle it just a few years ago during COVID? You may recall the supply chain went nuts on construction cost. You know, the cost of board feet, I guess. Let's look at Canada. Canada is a big producer of the wood that goes into framing. Canadian imports, given, you know, have a greater proportion of wood frame deals than urban areas, and high proportion of lumber used in the construction industry originates from Canada. However, there are already punitive tariffs on Canadian softwoods when in August 2024 the duty rose from 8.05% to 14.54%. The current spot market is $579 per thousand board feet. Well, during the pandemic, prices hit nearly $1,500 per 1,000 board feet. So another 11% increase would not really materially change the past experience that developers have had. It's still much less than what they dealt with during COVID. Similarly, during Trump's first term, he sharply increased tariffs on goods from China. Again, we're not going to be at the levels that we were during the pandemic. Next, look at the labor factor. The fact is immigrants contribute significantly to the construction industry to help keep costs relatively low. Reducing the available labor pool for construction will drive up the cost of labor, thereby raising the cost of construction and increasing the cost of purchasing real estate. But in any event, it's not going to have such an massive negative effect that's being, you know, tossed about in the mainstream media to, you know, denigrate Trump's policy threat. I think it's more of a threat than a policy, but in any event, some states that have had massive development, like Florida, have had strict immigration laws for a while. And this doesn't mean there's going to be no trouble, but I think what, you know, will happen is in markets that have a large amount of available inventory with low absorption, it could spur more absorption in those markets, because I believe if these issues affect construction, it'll give a pause to more construction, if it's not already, and it really has paused in many markets. But it'll give time for some absorption to occur that's much needed in, you know, Sun Belt and states and other markets. Not only that, with respect to the labor, you know, it's estimated that 15 to 25% of the U.S. construction workforce is made up of laborers who lack permanent legal status. And states like Sunbelt states like Florida, Texas, California have a higher share of unauthorized workers in general. So it stands to reason that they also have a greater than average proportion of unauthorized workers within the construction industry. But in any event, you know, if, I mean, what does happen if we get higher inflation? If inflation goes the other way, well, then, you know, we could go back to higher interest rates, which will affect the cap rates, which, you know, basically means as the cap rates go higher, property values go lower. And that's what's been a significant problem here over the last 2 years. But however, you know, post-pandemic, it seems unlikely the Fed would wait as long to address inflation, which means lower cap rates, or a lower cap on how high the rates would go, because they got started late here, you know, 2 years ago in terms of adjusting the rate. Anyway, let's see. I think I may have had one more article before we get to the discussion of the day. Well, let's go ahead and pivot to how do we invest? I know, you know, listeners, well, some listeners and a lot of my clients are already investing their IRAs in real estate, and many of them use the IRA LLC structure. And so let's just talk about the several ways that you can invest in real estate and with your IRA funds, and then we'll address 401s as well. You can invest directly from your IRA account, assuming you're using a custodian that allows for self-directed investment in real estate options. And by that I mean you're not using firms like Schwab, Fidelity, UBS, what I call the top tier, because they don't have the ability to administer, or I say they don't have the ability, they choose not to, perhaps, because they don't make money when you go buy a piece of real estate. They make money when you buy stocks, you know, mutual funds, etc. And so there's three main reasons that you would use an IRA LLC instead of the IRA. But again, with an IRA that you're allowing a custodian to administer that allows alternative investments is the key buzzword. If you're not sure, call your IRA custodian and ask if you're allowed to invest in alternative investments like real estate, and you'll find out real quick whether they are set up to allow that. But it involves an approval process, and it's a little bit cumbersome at times to have to wait for the response from the custodian before you can go close a deal. And again, remember, this is a deal, the property, the offer, everything from step one needs to be couched in the fact that you're going to use your IRA to hold the investment. You can't go do a purchase contract in your name and or other assigns is how you would typically see that, or assigns. So it could be John Smith or assigns would be the name on the truck contract. Can't do that if it's for your IRA. It's got to be your IRA, and it typically would be something like the XYZ custodian or trust company, XYZ Trust, FBO for benefit of John Smith, where John Smith is the IRA account holder. That's how that contract would be worded. But why do you instead perhaps want to use an IRA LLC? Well, you get better speed. You get perhaps a lower cost. I'm not sure about that, but that is one of the reasons that I've heard other people do it. And then the flexibility, that's the big one. Because once you set your IRA LLC up and you've presented the required documents to have your IRA account fund the IRA LLC, that's going to give you more control over that process of making an offer and perhaps faster access yet to getting capital. Especially valuable for you, your investment possibilities if you deal with auctions, foreclosures, because you essentially at that point have what we call and the industry calls checkbook control. So you can show up at an option or an auction and write a check to buy that property if you're not using debt. And of course, you can still get a loan for that property with regard to your IRA purchase. Let's take a break at this moment. I've got Mr. A.I. Wynn has called in, and as you know, if you listen to our show on Sundays, we talk cybersecurity, well, a lot of things related to cyber, artificial intelligence, ransomware, phishing, all these topics we've been doing now on the Sunday show, and I wanted Mr. Wynn to discuss our upcoming Sunday agenda or topics we're going to be discussing. Wynn, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, great. I was just going to take a quick break and let you tell us what's on tap for the Sunday show coming up.
Sure. Well, we're going to talk about RFID, which is a stand for Radio Frequency Identification. And the tools are basically used for cloning, eavesdropping, and replay attacks. And we're going to talk about how the RFID scanner and the bad guys are using to hack into your credit card. Okay,
wow.
steal your credit card without you even knowing it. Like, they can just stand right next to you, and they scan your credit card.
That's crazy. Right. I thought RFID was like a warehouse supply chain tool for moving product around.
Well, it's a double S, so they can do for many things. So the holidays is coming. It's on the horizon, and you can go shopping, and it's a crowded area. They can stand right there, and they can scan all your credit cards.
And is that I mean, there's not a barcode on the card, so is that like the same as the tap type technology you use when you're paying with your credit card, where you're not inserting it, you're just tapping?
The problem is, in this country, we use a chip, and we also use the RFID chip. We use two kind of chips, the one like the chip, okay, and then another one is RFID. And the bad guy could use that because that stores information like your credit card numbers, your expiration date, and all kind of stuff, okay? With that, they can order stuff online. That's how scary it is.
Huh.
Yep.
Well, that'll be interesting to hear details on that. Do we have any other topics lined up? Any new hacker attacks?
And then we're going to talk about AI, as we always. And we're talking about the new stuff that is affecting all of our phone cellulars, like Verizon, T-Mobile.
It's all of them. I saw an article that referred to 7 different cell phone company systems that all have been breached.
That's by the Chinese.
That's exactly right.
And we spoke about that topic last week, and now it's happening.
Yeah. Well,
so we're going to deep dive into it more.
Okay, well, great. Well, listen, thanks for touching base, and I look forward to the Sunday show. So we'll be back with more of these topics on Sunday and Sundays going forward. If any of you out there have questions about AI or other cyber issues, text them to me at 713-581-0195, and happy to try to work that into future shows. It is a multifaceted topic that I don't think we'll ever totally run out of content on, unfortunately. So anyway, let's see. We were talking about investing with an IRA and or an IRA or an LLC that's set up within the IRA, or the IRA owns it. And again, flexibility is typically the reason you might want to do that. And you can be the manager of the self-directed LLC IRA, but you can't be compensated. But you can do it, without compensation or other benefit. Okay, it's not just getting a check. You can't be indirectly, directly, or even tangentially benefiting from that IRA investment. And I did mention that you can get a loan, and there are lenders out there that will loan to the IRA. It's a non-recourse loan because you cannot sign personally as the guarantor on a loan for an asset held by your IRA or your self-directed 401k, like you would every time you buy the home you live in. If you look at the fine print, you are personally guaranteeing that home. The lender can sue you personally and take assets as needed to satisfy the balance on the loan. It is not non-recourse or qualified non-recourse, which is what you need with an IRA. And if any of you are interested in some of those names, I'm happy to provide those to you. But in any event, we like the fact that you can still get some leverage even when you're buying an asset, a rental property, or a asset held for investment with your IRA. And it's gives you the ability to do what? Why do we use leverage at all with real estate? You know, because we like getting the extra profits that if it were a partner, they would be getting, but the lender will do it for, you know, merely 6% of probably what's 50 to 60% of the overall capital to buy the asset. The LTV or loan to value won't be as high as a traditional lender or even a hard money lender, but hey, it still gives you the ability to leverage your investment in real estate and acquire maybe two properties instead of one. Well, let's go ahead and take our last break, and we will come back here momentarily with the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Big dreams and faded jeans. Big dreams.
Big dreams.
Big dreams and faded jeans. Oh, I'm just longing to be free.
Okay, welcome back. With more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we've been talking about purchasing real estate within your IRA or a LLC IRA account. And one we mentioned briefly, the concept of there being restrictions on how you might directly, indirectly, or even tangentially benefit from the relationship you might have with your IRA. And I guess I want to just mention, and this is not a definitive list by any stretch here, you really need to check if you're uncertain, if it's not obvious that you're breaching the rule, check with someone before you take that step, because unfortunately, if you have a prohibited transaction within your IRA, let's say you have, I don't know, make the math easy. Let's say you've got $500,000 in your IRA and you invest in a $100,000 property. And at some point you stub your toe and enter into a prohibited transaction, and this could be something you've done with a disqualified person, like maybe you didn't know you couldn't buy a rental house that your spouse used to live in, maybe before you were married even, and so you are prohibited from self-dealing with your IRA account. Your spouse is prohibited. Your lineal descendants and their spouses are prohibited Any fiduciaries on your account, like an IRA custodian, are prohibited. Any person providing services to the IRA where you own at least 50% of the asset, either directly or indirectly. Now, you may have noticed on the lineal descendant list, that does not include siblings. For whatever reason, siblings are not a prohibited party, at least by definition, by statute. Now, they still could be prohibited if in some way you control actions that those siblings might take. And so direct and indirect control is problematic. But in any event, the problem you've got with an IRA, and this is one of the differences between the IRA and the self-directed 401 trust, is the entire amount in the IRA account becomes subject to a penalty for the prohibited transaction, and it's rather stout. It's essentially 100% of the account is taxed. And so you start off with $500,000, and just assuming an average rate of 37% or so, you're going to end up with, $300? I don't have the calculator handy, but you'll be down in the mid to low 300s if you lose 30% of it. And so it's a serious matter. And that's in contrast to the 401, where if there's a prohibited transaction, it's simply the amount, still not good, but it's simply the amount of the transaction that is effectively taxed or penalized. So you would have, in the example I mentioned, if you spent $100,000 to invest in a property or a project, then you would pay, $30,000 or so in tax. So it's not pleasant, but it's not as bad. So if you're using IRAs and not 401s, what you want to do is separate your IRA funds, put different accounts, set up different accounts with amounts that you kind of put a fence around each one. But anyway, it's a complicated topic, and consider this just to be a flag. I'm waving the flag, and if you want more information, well then, you can find a lot online, or you can send me a message, text message, 713-581-0195, and I'll forward you some links that discuss it. Let's see, we've got some other... Well, I tell you what, let's move now, since we're running out of time, to the concept of investing your IRA or 401 into, not into a piece of asset or an asset that you title to the IRA LLC. Let's assume you're buying, investing in a partnership that a syndicator is offering, a 300 unit apartment building. There's going to be 50 or 60 other partners or more. How would you do that? Well, this is where I would suggest you really want an IRA LLC if you're using IRA money, because the process of going back and forth from the syndicator to the IRA custodian to get approval can get a little bit sticky, just in terms of timing, and you don't want to take a chance that your approval process drags out to where you miss an opportunity to invest if it's a good project and a project that you want to be involved with. But the beauty of the 401 is that, again, it's a separate investment from a penalty standpoint were you to stub your toe and invest in a prohibited fashion, which is something that we go to great lengths to make sure when we're reviewing transactions for our clients with self-directed 401s that we don't Well, people can invest any way they want to. It's your money, but we'll at least point out that, hey, this may be prohibited. The example I mentioned earlier is the fund. You know, if that fund ends up investing in something that, I mean, this is just a wild example, but let's say you've got a daughter that's working as a leasing agent for a multifamily property out there, and by some stretch, your partnership invests in that building. They buy that apartment building. And theoretically, your daughter being a prohibited party could cause that transaction to be subject to the UDFI or the UBIT tax, the prohibited transaction rule at the same time. But in any event, you know, you just want to avoid that stuff. I mean, again, know what you're buying. And you can't do that as easily with a fund as you can a named transaction. And that's kind of a hokey example, but I guess it clarifies the fact that it's not whether you knew it or not, it's the fact that it exists that creates the conflict. The other thing we like, well, there's several things we like about the 401 option for holding your investment dollars. And again, there are qualifications. Not everyone can have their money in the 401, but the ability to take a loan is nice, potentially up to as much as $100,000 if both you and your spouse are able to participate in the solo K or the 401 trust, which your spouse is able to, provided he or she is active in the trade or business that you have that opened the solo K or 401 trust account. And that's a nice feature. The ability to let's see here. I was looking for an answer to a question. The ability to take the loan, the ability to have an additional layer of asset protection, because the 401 enjoys certain advantages with regard to creditors. For instance, you know, protecting your investment than the IRA does, and the ability to not have to take required minimum distributions necessarily as long as you're still working. There's a number of issues that we would always recommend. I mean, this is even before we discuss the higher limits. $75,000 plus if you're over the age of 50 is this year's limit. And when you think about that, for those of you that might be behind on your retirement savings, provided you can generate the earned income that's necessary to support that number. And if you're talking about Roth, it's even better, because with the Roth contribution, you can do pretty much dollar for dollar. You've got to gross up for the FICA and Medicare component, but versus the pre-tax 401 contribution, where you get a maximum of 25% of the net income of that activity, the Roth is what I think to be the preferred option, even if that wasn't the case. I want the ability to live, I don't know what you think you're going to live to. Let's assume you're in the range that the IRS thinks you're going to live. You know, us males are 85 to 86 years. Females are 87 to 88. Well, if you're in your 50s, or even if you're in your 60s, as I am, that's a long time to generate income off real estate or whatever you're invested in and not be paying tax for the rest of your life. Think about that. That's a long time. And for those of you that have fallen prey to folks that don't professionally understand tax rules, I hear a lot of real estate mentors, you hear them too, tell you to rip the Band-Aid off, pay the tax now, and be done with the tax man. No way to do that, folks. You're never done with the tax man. unless you have your money in Roth accounts. And Roth is a remarkable tool given what we have coming down the track right now. We've got a tax train coming down the track. And I understand Doge, Elon Musk, and Vivek Vaswamy are going to cut trillions of dollars off our deficit. It barely nudges the needle. $2 trillion a year, that's what we're already projected to spend over and above what we collect. We collect about $5 trillion a year in tax receipts. We spend $7 trillion. You can't do that. And so even if you cut the two, let's say we balance the budget, okay, that's a great step in the right direction, but you still got $36 trillion in the part of the cumulative debt that we acknowledge. We'd actually put it on a balance sheet, in other words, if we produce financials today, versus roughly another 100 plus trillion, some say as much as 200, that is in the category we call unfunded mandates, meaning we've already passed legislation that certain programs are going to come online, you know, in the future, or certain indexing of spending. Have you ever seen the amount that an agency in government spends each year go down? No, it goes up every year. If they don't go up, a 30% is one. Department of Defense contractor told me once, if we don't raise our budget 30% this year, we won't get what we had for the current year, last year, as request. And so when you think about that across however many agencies we have and over however many years you want to pick any slice of time, that's an incredible increase every year. And so cutting what we're truly needing to cut is, or change, is some of our systemic policies on how we as a nation spend money and tax people for the money. And I'm going to tell you, don't wait for that to happen. It probably won't. You can take control and get your pre-tax IRAs and 401s over to Roth. And if you don't understand how to do that, because most people don't, most lay people, that's an area that we spend a lot of our time advising clients on. Connect with me, 713-581-0195. Okay, we're close to the end of the show here. I want to talk more about using your retirement funds in real estate. And it's kind of a common theme with most of our shows, or at least it's our show's predicated on that notion, and we'll give you the math. You know, we'll let others give you the motivational insights. You know, there's a lot of huff that's on the air about investing in real estate, you know, because of how lucrative it is. I'm going to tell you, let's focus on the math, and let's get you poised for a tax-free retirement. Okay, we'll be back on Sunday with the cyber version of the Be a Planner Show right here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.